Welcome to Two-Legged Tie. This is Eric Major.
I'm Martin French.
And back again, Augustus Waiters.
We got a great show for you today. We're kind of doing things a little bit differently. We're doing the away leg as our home leg, and our home leg as our away leg, seeing as how Derby City Rovers are starting their season on the road.
So let's say we were drawn away.
We were drawn away, and we should ready our change strips.
What are the Derby City train strips? Do we even know?
As far as I know, we will find out soon. I'm not entirely sure of the
color. I guess we'll find out on game day.
We'll see the pictures after, won't we?
Well, I hope we see a Masters.
Yes, yes, yes. Our home leg today is discussing the Europa League. We're going to discuss where it is in the Europa League. We're going to discuss a little bit of the history. We're going to discuss some of the really interesting points to us about it. And obviously, as I said before, our away leg will be discussing Rovers' opening match against West Virginia Chaos.
So, the Europa League, formerly the UEFA Cup, formerly the Fairs Cup, pretty grand old tradition. Back in the day, it was just as, well, I guess, favored would be the right word, as the European Cup, honestly.
It was dominated at first by Barcelona. While you had Real dominating in the big cup, you had Barcelona running away with the Fairs Cup.
Well, I mean, you look at the time when it came in. You've had 5 years just of, well, as the Fairs Cup, you had previously 5 years of this fantastic competition, the European Cup. Everybody wanted to be in it, but not everybody could. So you had this battle to try and come up with something. And you were saying, I think it was a French company came up first with this Fairs Cup, which was meant to be a representative competition, where supposedly the city of Birmingham entered, and it was meant to be a representative players from Birmingham.
They finished second on at least one occasion. They lost. Yeah. I think it was two consecutive ones. They finished Barcelona and I want to say Sporting.
I can't recall, but
or possibly Porto.
I think it could be. That's like about 62 or something like that. I know London got to the final and played over two legs, and that was a team that had players from Chelsea, West Ham, Tottenham, Arsenal, Leighton Orient, Brentford, I think, and a couple of others. I mean, it was a crazy kind of setup, but that did not last
Charlton.
Long. Yeah. Yes, I think you could be right. The thing that led Barcelona to dominating those couple of years was the fact that it was Barcelona playing. It was nobody from Espanyol. It was just Barcelona against the rest of the world.
There was one guy from Espanyol.
Was there?
Yeah.
I didn't see that him listed in, because I think the couple of finals I've looked up with them, there was nobody.
There was one representative of Espanyol.
That's good to know.
Yes, the loyalist side had to have representation somehow.
I'm sure people argue that there at the time. But either way, I mean, it pretty soon became so popular that UEFA took it over.
It became big.
Yeah. And bigger and bigger and bigger.
And then Newcastle won it.
Well, that's before it became big, clearly.
Obviously.
Look, Newcastle was not a bad side back in the day. So, I mean, even relatively recently, Newcastle was a pretty good side. So while it's fun to take shots at Newcastle,
as everybody who plays in the Premier League gets to do on a very regular basis.
At least recently, yes.
Well, it's because Leeds aren't in that picture, so we can't make fun of them at the moment.
Well, neither is Portsmouth or Nottingham Forest, so.
Fair.
But either way, I mean, I find personally, your UEFA League has changed a lot over the years. You were researching a lot into it lately, Eric.
Well, yeah, it was prior to 2009 when it was rebranded as the UEFA Europa League. It was, you know, the Fairs Cup and the UEFA Cup, which were both straight knockout, two-legged knockouts. I wonder where we got our name from. And then prior to 1998, the final was a two-legged tie, which is an interesting counterpoint.
Never liked the two-legged tie final. Honestly, I think if you're going to go, it should be, I am a fan, and this is going to cliche it a little bit to Lord of the Rings fans, but one match to rule them all. If you're going to have one match, I get why a two-legged tie is seemingly a pretty good final, because you want to make sure that you are, in fact, getting the best team and not a fluke win, but I'm not a fan of two-legged.
Well, if you're going to go Lord of the Rings, I'm going to have to go Mad Max, and I'm going to go two legs enter, one team leaves.
More importantly, I feel really bad for Atletico Madrid in the European Cup final in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. But either way, I mean, that big change in the at the end of the 90s is intriguing, because the mid-90s was a time when European club football was kind of setting a standard across the way. I mean, there was on and off an Asian champion, an Asian cup like the European Cup. There was on and off an AFC Cup. There's in Africa, we had the African Champions League is now the successor to the African Cup.
And now you have the African Confederation Cup, which is their secondary cup.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the different continents have followed on from this. And in the 90s, UEFA spent a lot of time developing this, knowing that this was their kind of cash cow. Personally, I actually preferred the two-legged finals. They still do it in Africa, and it makes sense there because you're never going to get... Europe is a surprisingly small a continent. It's really easy for you to go... Let's say that through some fluke of coincidence, who was in it this year? Let's say that Karabag of Armenia got through. They got through to the group stages of the Europa League. Let's say they got through to the final. That's Armenia. That's one of the edges of Europe. That makes it a 3 to 4 hour flight to Warsaw to the final. Orlando Pirates, well, actually, they're not in it this year. If TP Mazembe were to be playing in, get to the final of the African Champions League, and they had a one-stop final, and not a two-legger. If that one-stop is in South Africa, that's...
It's a nasty, nasty trip.
10 hours between the jigs and the reels. For a fan, I should say. TP Mazembe can afford their own plane.
Or Casablanca or anyone from Egypt. That's a nasty, nasty trip. Yeah.
So, I mean, in Europe, it makes sense to have a single final. It also is much better for TV because they never used to televise the UEFA Cup final before... unless you had a team in it. But, you know, I've seen years when there's been an English team in the UEFA Cup final, it's not been televised because it was two-legged, which is a shame, but I can understand why they changed.
Yeah, still like the single game better, honestly. Mm-hmm. I can understand the majesty of having a two-legged tie, because, I mean, especially seeing the way the knockouts go, being, especially this year with Everton, you know, round of 16, where they were playing, who were they playing?
Dnipro.
Dnipro. And they went up like some crazy scoreline, like 3-1 in the first leg. And, you know, everybody from Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher was like, at least Everton is doing England proud in Europe. And then immediately the next game got blasted straight out of the tournament. What was it, 5-0?
I've got it up here in front of me. I was, of course, wrong. It was Dynamo Kiev, and they lost. Everton won the home leg 2-1 and lost the away leg 5-2.
Did they suddenly move to CONCACAF and nobody told them?
Sound like that, doesn't it?
Were they playing against a Mexican team in the Azteca?
I suppose Ukraine is kind of the Mexico of Russia.
And
so.
Say what you will
about Mexican teams in the Azteca, Impact de Montreal went into the Azteca and drew 1-1. So it's not as if the Azteca is the impenetrable fortress that it used to be.
Not anymore.
But...
Well, this isn't to make disparaging comments with regard to any sort of culture. It's just, it's kind of anomalous. That a lot of weird anomalous things happen at the Azteca.
Well, in CONCACAF generally.
Yes.
You know, I mean, well, to be honest, anything can happen in the CONCACAF Champions League. Literally anything.
Like Montreal
getting into the final. But
I mean, what's next? Auckland City playing for the final of the Club World Cup again?
But it's interesting that we should touch on that area, because one of the things I'm very keen to note is the Europa Cup or the Europa League is probably, for me, a more exciting league in many ways than the Champions League. Yes, sure, there's none of the big names playing in it generally, unless, well, I mean, are Liverpool a big name anymore?
Well, without
Liverpool are a big-ish name.
Ish. No, jokes aside, I mean, you look at some of the teams that went in there, you have Ajax, you've got Napoli, you've got Inter, you've got Roma, you've got Sporting Club de Portugal, you've got Anderlecht. Well, I'm the only one who thinks Anderlecht is a big club. So
Anderlecht is a big name in Belgium, yeah, hell.
Partizan Belgrade.
Look how many letters there are.
Okay, look, but how big is Belgium?
That's a triple word score, by the way.
Anderlecht?
Yes.
Anderlecht.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, there's no Z's in it, so, you know.
The length, you'll get triple word.
Wherever you put it down.
Very true.
But either way, I mean, you don't have the massive, massive names. You don't have your Europe's 20 richest clubs necessarily.
I mean, the UEFA Cup for the last couple of years has always been looked as the almost league, the league nobody really wants to be in. Everybody wants to be in the Champions League, but nobody really wants to be in the Europa League and playing on Thursday. Okay, for the last 5 years,
the English media and the English clubs have not wanted to care much about the Europa League. Look at the Spanish clubs.
Look at Italy.
Atletico have won it twice. Sevilla have won it. The Italian club.
Sevilla are probably about to win it again.
Valencia.
I don't know. I fancy Napoli.
Although
even though they
I agree with. I'm hoping. My heart says Napoli because I want my beloved coach Rafa Benitez to win another trophy. That'll make him the first coach to win three with three different clubs.
Yeah,
it will be. Valencia, Inter, Chelsea. And with Napoli, that would be a fantastic achievement.
It will be remarkable. And I mean, he is a good head for this kind of thing. But this is the thing with it. It's such an unpredictable competition. You don't know. I mean, I think Juve got to the semi-final last year and got dumped out by, was it Benfica? Sevilla beat... No, it must have been Sevilla that dumped out Juve, because I think Athletic Bilbao.
It was Benfica.
No, oh, that way around.
Benfica, Juve, and Sevilla, Valencia. And obviously Sevilla ended up winning that game.
But you look at, you've got these down from the last couple of years. Yeah. Semi-finalists this year, you've got Dnipro from Ukraine, you've got Napoli and Fiorentina from Italy, you've got Sevilla. These are not nobody teams.
And then if you look, it is an interesting point to contrast with regard to the actual big cup, the Champions League, and how you've got Barca and Bayern, then Real and Juventus. You've got six representatives of Spain and Italy in there.
Wow.
For
out of eight. So Dnipro and Bayern are the outliers there.
Which kind of is indicative of a power shift in Europe that Italy might be back on the rise.
Well, let's look over the last couple of years.
I'm not so sure Italy's back on the rise so much as I'm sure that they are kind of... I know there are three teams in there, but I'm thinking it's more of a... These three teams are so damn good that there's nobody else to really compete.
I don't know about that. I mean, Roma are not one of those three teams. And
very true.
They're second. I mean, the great thing about the Europa League is... I mean, you don't know who's going to be there. You look the last two sets of semis, you had Benfica both times, but you also had Fenerbahce, Chelsea, Juve, and Sevilla.
Basel,
yeah, that's unbelievable. A Swiss team in a semi-final. Go back the year before that, you've got Portugal and all Spaniards. The year before that again.
I'm sure Bilbao would disagree with
all
being
Portuguese.
Spanish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry, I didn't notice Bilbao. I was looking down below and seeing Porto. But the year before that, you'd got three Portuguese and a Spaniard.
They really should just rename it the Iberian Cup. There's been a very lovely amount of domination over the course of the run from the Fairs Cup forward of it being Iberian clubs.
That's
that won
a very good point. Benfica, Benfica haven't won it, have they? Benfica have gotten to the final a couple of times.
They've gotten to the final, yeah.
Poor old Benfica.
I still remember what was it, 2 years ago or last year, where Benfica was in the final of
and
all three
penalties,
and failed
last
end.
2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago. Oh, my goodness. Seeing them lose against, they lost to Chelsea, and seeing their coach just on his knees when Kelvin of Porto just slotted that 90th plus whatever goal in to take away the Portuguese title from him, just... that made me feel so horrible for him.
Yeah. But one thing that, and I know this will feed into something Eric wants to talk about, one thing that Portugal doing so well in the Europa League has done has pushed them up the rankings. They overtook, I think it's only for the 1 year, but they did overtake Italy and got an extra place in the Champions League this year. I think it reverts next year. But this is something that I think people forget.
Well, that's
this
on
can
a rolling
be used as a path to better things.
It's on a rolling five-year. You do from five-year window. That's why I was using a five-year window. So you can kind of assess that and look at the coefficients and how they fall. But yeah, as you were saying, it's a great platform to build. It's similar to your Coppa Italias, your Coppa del Reyes, your FA Cups, your secondary or your domestic cups, that if you want to blood a squad and kind of get them used to the idea of the intense competition, you just throw them into that and let them go and see how they do. And then you take whatever prize money you get and build from there.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the...
it's a very 70s mentality.
Well, I would say it's not just 70s. You look at the Man United run in the Cup Winners' Cup in 1991. That, more than winning the FA Cup, which just kept Ferguson in the job, that was what basically built that team. That sense of European success. And we underestimate, because we live in an anglophonic world, which is heavily influenced by a British media that has decided, I couldn't be bothered working on a Thursday night, I have to work on Saturday. You look at European clubs, Atletico have built themselves on the back of two wins in it.
Valencia did.
Valencia as well. Did a lot of stuff based on
under Rafa Benitez.
Yeah. So I'm kind of inclined to say that I'm glad to see that there is a Champions League spot for the winner.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, outside of a shot in the Super Cup, there really wasn't much to play for in the Europa League. And now this is the big carrot. And I think you're going to see a lot more. While I still think being in the Europa League and playing on those Thursdays, especially if you have a Saturday game the next day in your league, is a bit of a poison chalice. I know 24 hours doesn't seem like much as far as rest goes, but it seems to every single team take quite a bit out of them. The fact that you now have that actual tangible asset, and they say, what is it? It's the $40 million place, you know, in the Premier League or, you know, in La Liga, in the respective leagues, I guess. And, you know, suddenly now your Europa League prize has gone from, I believe it's like £10 million for the winner to the Europa League to now, literally, now not only do you get the winner that winnings, but you get the £50 million from being in the Champions League. That is a crazy, crazy, crazy prize to be playing for.
I was going to ask when Harry Hardiker, former president of the Football League, joined us.
Yeah, it's a good spiel you sell it on. But, I mean, the reality money-wise is, I haven't checked the figures for this year, but I know last year, basically what the situation was is if you got to the final knockout before group stages in the Champions League, you got the same amount of money as if you got all the way to the semi-final of the Europa League for that one game.
No.
So Besiktas, when they lost, was it to Arsenal this year? I think that was the one game they played. They made as much money as, we will say, who only played in the league this year? Let me double check.
Well, the other question
Sevilla.
Is...
Sevilla have made as much money as from their run so far.
The other question becomes, are they... Is the spot in Champions League a playoff into the group stage spot, or is it an automatic into the group stage spot?
That I don't know.
I believe it's a group stage shot.
I would imagine it should be a group stage shot.
I believe it's a group stage, yeah.
I know in the Copa Sudamericana, which they've basically stolen the idea from, you go into a knockout, but it should be a group stage because, you know, you've earned that right. So it'll be interesting to see. Sevilla still can technically get a Champions League spot the usual way, but if they win this, ironically, if Sevilla don't win this, they get to play in the Europa League next year, but if they do win it this, they may not.
It's well, and if they do win it, I think the runner-up gets the, if they automatically qualify through league position, the runner-up gets the Champions League spot.
It has to be said, though, how freak, and I suppose this is a note to round off on, what's the odds of one team winning the Europa League back to back?
I will. Okay, so
much better this year than usual.
Hasn't been done since Madrid in the 80s.
According to Wiki,
I believe
the winner of the Europa League qualifies for the UEFA Super Cup, and from 15 to 2016 season onwards, the winner of the previous season's Europa League will qualify for the UEFA Champions League, the winner entering at least at the playoff round, assuming that they do not already qualify through domestic performance, and will enter the group stage of the berth reserved for the Champions League title holders is not used. So I'm thinking it means that they're in the playoff.
Unless the winner, which is a very, very good chance, is somebody who would have gotten a Champions League spot and group stage anyway.
Yeah.
And so who's left in that? We've got Real, Bayern.
So
only if Juve win the Champions League do the winners of this not get the playoff spot, the group stage spot.
Well, no, because Real's qualified.
How do you mean?
Well, Real would have...
No, what I'm saying is if...
Well, they would have. Bayern have already won, so they've already actually qualified for the Champions League in the group stage. So that doesn't apply to them. Real are also enough points above Atletico they've qualified for the Champions League group stage. Juventus have also done it.
I don't know. Do Juventus go straight through this year?
Yeah, they're already champions.
Well, then that means that whoever's going to win this has a group spot.
Yeah.
They wrapped up their Scudetto 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
No. Everybody's pretty much where they're going to be, who's left.
So, all the guys in the Champions League have already wrapped up group stage spots. So that means the winner of this year's Europa League is right in the group stage.
And I spoke incorrectly. Sevilla was the last team to go back-to-back. They defended it in 2005-06.
2005-06.
Well, there looks... I mean...
Before that, it was Madrid in 84-85.
Yeah, so
if conventional wisdom based on the first leg tie goes anywhere, they're probably going to do back-to-back again. Because, I mean, the 3-0 against Fiorentina was pretty emphatic, honestly. And maybe it was Fiorentina on an off day, mm-hmm. but the way Sevilla just cut through them is just amazing.
Well, we're going to have to wrap this. Gentlemen, who do you fancy to win it?
My head says Sevilla, my heart says Napoli. Get Rafa the third one.
I'm kind of leaning toward Napoli myself, but I'd like to see Fiore.
I'd say Napoli. I'd like to see Fiore. But, yeah, maybe Dnipro have a good chance, what with Ukraine being in craziness.
The moral of the story is, screw Russia. That's the moral that's the moral of our picks here.
We'll be back after this little break.
Welcome to our away leg. This is an exciting time for us here at Two Legged Tie because finally, I believe next week, they start
the 16th.
Well, yeah. This week.
Yes.
At the same time as the big club. Derby City Rovers are back. Woo!
Huzzah.
I'm excited. Blue smoke is, according to Airsplat, on the way.
Hey!
I don't know when it's going to get here, but hopefully it gets here before the 22nd when they make their home. But first things first, we begin our quest for dominance against the West Virginia Chaos. First place in South Atlantic Division last year, 25 of 14, 7 wins, 4 draws, 3 losses.
That was our division, was it not?
Yes, that was where
it
we
was.
Were.
Yeah, it was us.
So how did we do against them?
Against them,
we
won
are
the overall.
1-2-0, I believe. So, yeah, 1-1-1-1 and 1-2, the only away one. So, we beat them at their house. They could only draw us at our house. So, we had a pretty good performance against West Virginia. Fortunately, we didn't have too great of a performance against anybody else. But, you know, Will, that is, I mean,
it's a nice building point. The fact that we went to West Virginia and we took 3 points of, or we took 4 points out of a possible 6 at their home. And they were the eventual
champions. Yeah.
It's a good point to say, okay, we can beat a potentially mediocre club on a potentially mediocre division compared to where we are now. And
but nevertheless,
yeah, we are loaded this year. Our division is loaded.
You know, we can, it, but it's a sign, it's a good sign saying that we can go into their house, take 4 points of 6.
Mm-hmm. That's very impressive.
And then come back and at least, you know, fight to earn a point, to at least maintain a point and go forward.
Mm-hmm. So we have the opportunity to get started again by going back to the scene of the crime, a crime we committed on this occasion.
Very much so.
Oh, man, this game.
So who did West Virginia, they're not going to be messing around. They're kind of organized. I mean, PDL, you do have a massive turnover between seasons. But last season, how did they get on after once they got outside of the group?
It should be noted first and foremost that they won the division by, I think it was 5 points. They were 5 points clear at the top.
It's a pretty healthy gap in, what, a 14-game season?
14-game season, 5 points clear?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty much set.
And then once they got into the playoffs, they ran into the Jersey Express, who beat them in the quarterfinals. And then the Jersey Express themselves fell victim to the Michigan Bucks, who were eventual champions.
Who we play this season.
Who we are excited to play this season.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a real tester. And
are we really excited to play a team that conventional wisdom says we're going to lose to?
Yes.
It is always better to play these teams and find out what your metal really is.
Yeah, very true.
I have to go with what Robbie Tarver said last week with regard to punching above our weight.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun match.
So what are we expecting from West Virginia this year? I mean, I know we don't have a game with them in our town, but we're going out there. It's the first game of the season. It's...
Well, we're not going out there.
Well, yeah. City Rovers are going out there.
We're expecting them to do about the same in terms of taking the game to us. They're you know, they finished first for a reason in the division last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect them, at least I expect them, to come out with the same intent of making a statement saying, okay, you got a few points off us last year. We're not letting that happen again. I mean, 6 points in 9 isn't bad. In terms of, you know, getting that points off of getting those points off of that team, however, five points out of nine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Getting that it will create a bit more of its own derby feel, obviously, because they'll want to equalize the score, as it were, and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. So we have 14 games ahead. This is our first one. This is one of two games that we don't get to play against a return leg, as it were. This and Dayton Dutch Lions, which is, I think, towards the end.
Cincinnati.
Oh, sorry, Cincinnati Dutch Lions towards the end.
Cincinnati
and Dayton are pretty much the same place.
Cincinnati is the penultimate fixture. It's the closer.
Cincinnati, who we have to note, has been offered a USL team.
Yeah, so the rumor goes. I'm guessing it's not going to be the Dutch Lions.
I doubt it, too. Although I think it'd be kind of weird if the Cincinnati and Dayton Dutch Lions continue to coexist in some sort of weird, like, wormhole vortex kind of thing where the parent club is now at the same level as the secondary club.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think that that's exactly how the Dutch Lions are set up. I have a sense that it's a case of they're willing to operate in a kind of an odd continuum. This is like a Star Trek podcast, actually, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the one where Q meets Khan, I'm sure. Which is
the one where Q does anything is just a weird episode.
Am I Ricardo Montalban?
No.
As long as you say
Ricardo Montalban.
And this is filled with rich Corinthian leather.
So,
drink if you got that joke, by the way.
And drink if you didn't.
And drink if you're having flashbacks to Fantasy Island.
Drink a lot if you get flashbacks to Fantasy Island. That's actually medicinal at that point. Joking aside, let's look at what do we expect to be getting out of these games with the likes of Cincy Dutch Lions, and more importantly and more immediately, West Virginia.
Well, hopefully they'll start off as good as the Rovers will start off as good as they did last season, mm-hmm. with the 3-3 draw.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll actually turn that into a win, but we'll take what we can get if we can get a high-scoring affair. You know, it's a great way to start the season.
Yeah, I'll take a point. Brand new coach, brand new team set up mostly. I mean, we've got a couple of players that came back, I believe.
We're keeping Alejandro.
Yes.
We've got Robbie. We've got, I can't remember who else off the top of my head, but we're keeping a good core of the squad from last season.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, we've got a good number of guys that stayed, but we also got a couple of new faces.
I believe we've tapped up Lindsey Wilson for a couple of players.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
We're not going to talk about that, the tapping up.
No, we shouldn't talk about that.
10% off, please. 10% off.
Just 10%. That's all we're looking for.
Please pay us. Anyway, but you know, brand new squad, brand new year. I'll take the draw.
Brand new kit?
Well, not really a brand new kit. The away kit is new, but the home kit is actually our old away kit. So, but you know, at the same time, maybe we stay in this home strip. Who knows? But anyway, I think a point is a good, a well-earned point. Let me put it this way. I don't want a boring 0-0 draw that nobody actually gets anything out of. But I'll take a 2-2. That's what I'll take. I'll 2-2. A 2-2 draw.
I'd take a well-fought 0-0. If they go out and they can hold them, you know, but for whatever reason, West Virginia comes out and proves that they won't let them in either. I'll take a hard-fought 0-0.
I mean, let's be realistic. There's a difference between, and you and I, and although you and I and all of us have watched enough football to know that there's a big difference between a well-fought 0-0 and a boring 0-0. I don't want a boring anything.
From what I hear, it'll be on YouTube.
Be on YouTube this year?
Are we going to do the streaming?
Rumor has it that they will be on YouTube, if my memory serves me correctly, from what we had discussed with Nathan about it.
Well, I would recommend to all listeners, check out the Boarding Crew Facebook page. We will update you there as we know about it.
We will harangue and harass and get an answer on that.
That would be a fabulous thing to have happen.
One of the big selling points of the USL, and maybe it's kind of somewhat to its detriment because it's not getting a TV deal and that extra money that comes with, but the fact that they're on YouTube, and no matter where you are in planet Earth, except like China and Malaysia or something, you can see the USL. That is a fantastic boon. If the PDL joins in, that's even better. That would be fantastic if we could go see away games. I know they were streaming a while back, like 2012 or something.
There were two or three matches that Rovers had last season that are still on YouTube.
Yeah, three. Mm. Oh,
I think it's probably going to depend on the amount of. I'll start that.
Well, the league wants matches recorded. I know that much. And I know that there have been a few that they have been...
Well, it's a league requirement to have the last recorded just in case something happens. Well, yes. So they can further review.
Yes, but I'm trying to think of what I want to say here. But there is the whole thing of the streaming. I know that the Cincinnati season opener from last year is one of the matches that's on YouTube.
Okay. Well, let's say this. Here's hoping that this year is 100% streaming. Maybe we're not going to get the HD streaming that the USL promises. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Ha ha, HD. But let's hope that those matches are streamed just as much, because I'm interested in watching. I want to watch the PDL, even when, you know, LC is playing.
Well, I know one of the great things about having the YouTube streaming is it actually gives the likes of us, who are here bravely making predictions based on what
absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it gives us a chance to actually see what we're talking about. And the difference being able to watch a stream of a game on whatever means, it does put you in contact. Because I'm really keen to see. I know Coach Chalmers is going to be playing an attacking, expansive, swashbuckling style of football. I want to see how that faces up to the likes of your West Virginias, so that come the 22nd, we know going into the game, this is what we're looking forward
to. Okay, any guesses? Where is DCR going to finish the year? I know we're jumping ahead. Where is DCR going to finish the year? If you had to guess right now, I
feel like we discussed this before.
Did we?
I think we probably did, but we can guess again.
Okay. Now that we have a little bit more information behind us, what's our guess?
I'm going to be solidly conservative and suggest that I think a good, solid year, let the coach bed in. I'm not expecting spectacular results. I'm expecting a little bit of spectacular play, but you know, I don't expect us to do incredibly well. Third, fourth, and a solid base put in there, I'd be very, very happy.
I'm thinking third or fourth with one or two Canadian teams above them, which would default them into second for domestic competition.
Yeah,
I'm going second. I have a good feeling about this year.
Good.
I like Coach Chalmers. I like what he's done at Lindsey Wilson. I like what Lindsey Wilson have been doing in the last year. I'm hoping some of that rubs off. I'm thinking they're going to finish second. I'm not going to say they're going to win their division, but I think they can be a solid number two team.
There is one other thing we do need to address. Well, I'm thinking about it before we call it a day, which is the boarding crew discount for tickets.
Yes, you guys all need to remember that there is a fantastic offer available to boarding crew
And we members. Misspoke.
We did misspeak. Because we got really excited. Basically, tickets this season are $10 a game.
$10 at the gate.
If you, the season tickets are very, that means seven games, that's going to work out at
$70.
If you just happen to wander in off the street onto the internet, you can get them for $42. But as a boarding crew member or a Cooper, you guys are just as much a part of this as we are.
Damn right.
You can get your tickets for $35. That's 50% of the actual full season price, season ticket price. There are always fees because fees are evil, but they must be charged.
It comes out to like $38 some change. Yeah. It's not that much.
Which is an incredibly good deal. And I would hope that we see a lot of you guys at these games this year, because $38, let's face it, that's for next to nothing.
And these are players who could be playing for LC in 1 to 2 years' time.
$38 is literally 2.5 LC games at the cheapest rate.
Yeah, I was going to go one step further than you, Eric. These are guys who could be playing for MLS teams in a couple of years' time. Because remember, Andrew Farrell came from Derby City Rovers. And a lot of players have come from USL PDL and gone through the MLS Super Draft into full-time, top-tier professional positions.
Including the recently retired, I believe he announced today, Dwayne Di Rosario.
Did he retire today?
He has retired today.
And the city of Toronto weeps.
Yes, and all of Canada weeps because he's probably the best player to come out of the great white north. So, in case you're listening, Dwayne, which you're probably not, Godspeed and good luck. You are a fantastic player.
And drop us a tweet.
Just
so that we can believe that you're
listening. And 10% of the retirement
funds. Yeah, 10%. Obviously 10%. Thank you for listening to Two Legged Tie. I've been Augustus Waiters.
I'm still Martin French.
I'm still Eric Major. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Lou Boarding Crew, or on Facebook at Lou Boarding Crew, or on the Gmails at louisville.boarding.crew@gmail.com.
And we will see you next time. Arr!